Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Wait a minute, it's not even 6 o'clock. Where's Frank
and
Rick?
Oh, we'll go that extra minute. We'll
do we get the extra money in our pocket for them cutting out early or
That's a great idea.
I doubt it.
We need to look into that.
We need to talk to Steve Griffin about this. I mean, you know, extra 3 minutes here. Come on, Steve.
Here we go. Jaguars Thursday. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Plenty to get to tonight. Our first thoughts since the NFL draft. The rookies are in the building starting today. They'll be on the field tomorrow and Saturday. And we'll hear from Marcus Stroud. He was over in London representing the Jaguars during draft week. We'll get his thoughts about the week in London and announcing the draft pick. What was that, the fifth round pick?
No, it was sixth round pick. Sixth and seventh round.
We're over there in London from Sky Sports.
The fans, didn't the fans do the fifth round pick? Was that
I was here for the fifth and sixth round pick. I introduced the fans. Seth Stutter from Green Cove Springs was the fan. We were up on the Clevelander deck, and we did the fifth and sixth round.
Cool.
Fourth and fifth.
Fourth and fifth round.
Fourth and fifth.
We did two rounds. That's all I know.
Right.
Fourth and fifth. Did you do it from inside the pool?
No. Outside the pool. There were people in the pool.
Well, they threw the guy who picked it into the pool.
We threw the fan into the pool.
Picked it.
Oh, really? I should say Jackson did.
Yeah.
He nicely done.
That was a good idea. Dante Fowler was there.
You actually dodged out of the way of the water.
Yeah,
I saw that on TV.
I was in slacks and a shirt. I really didn't feel like getting wet. Because I had to go on back for the fifth round.
Right.
Dante Fowler was there.
That wouldn't have looked good.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Dante Fowler was there, so that was good. Good to meet him, talk to him for a while.
Yeah.
Pretty engaging young guy. And
I don't care how engaging he is, he's one heck of a football player.
Oh, I already knew that watching Faye. I just wanted to meet him, see what he, see what type of guy he was. He was excited to be here.
Well, let's start with that then. They're in the building today. He did not speak with the media today. He will tomorrow, either before or after practice. But Dante Fowler Jr.,
I'll say this. I'll give Jeff credit. He had it right. I think we all agreed it was going to be one of three guys, Amari Cooper, Leonard Williams, or Dante Fowler. And, Jeff, you nailed it from the start. I almost think you were cheating, had inside information.
No,
I think he had inside.
Not.
I think Dave Caldwell slipped something.
He might know somebody here.
Nope. I had no inside information. It just when you watched him play, in fact,
But Jeff, when we first started watching them all, you liked Shane Ray initially.
I
better.
Did as far as his productivity.
Yeah, initially.
And then the more you watched,
yeah.
You know, the potential, the quick twitch, the violence,
power.
The power, the athleticism, the versatility. I mean, so many things to like. But I mean, there's no questioning the productivity of Shane Ray.
No, he was a great college player. I just think the what Dante Fowler can do is so versatile. I mean, you talk about position flexibility, something we talk about all the time. He can play the Leo, which I think he'll end up being his position home.
Natural Leo.
But he can play Otto if he had to. He can play, I mean,
he can play anywhere he wants.
He can play anywhere
at linebacker. He can play Mike, Will,
yeah.
Otto, Sam.
I mean, he's just
doesn't matter. Whatever you want to call it, he can be it.
That's it. So, I like it. I love the pick. I would have been happy with any of the three, but I love the Dante Fowler.
I went back and watched the film of all the draft picks today, and I actually went back and watched more of Dante Fowler. And the more you watch, the more you like. Just because when you watch him play, you know, when you first watch it, you're watching kind of the highlight plays, you know, because there's a folder which he says, okay, all plays involved in, and that's the one you typically focus in on first. But then you go back and then I really focused in on the late season games when Florida, you know, what was it, the Poor Man's Bowl in Birmingham, Alabama,
yep.
Whatever it was.
Compass Bowl or something.
Yeah.
He was dominant.
He was, and I'm talking 100 miles an hour in that bowl game, and then you just watch the effort, for example, like today was watching some of the other players in the draft class, and you had a natural fit because, you know, you had the Florida State game, And so you had Rashad Greene, and so I'm watching Rashad Greene.
You know, he's a good possession receiver. He's going to be good possession receiver.
Smooth.
A guy who can run option routes inside from the slot.
But you watch.
He's not an outside. I don't think he's an outside receiver in this.
I mean, could be in a pinch. But while watching Rashad Greene, you know, you watch it twice because then you go back, and then you watch Dante Fowler. So these are a lot. These are Rashad Greene's highlights. So you watching Dante Fowler, he stood out on Rashad Greene's highlights. You know, so, I mean, that's always a positive.
And I guess the good thing about this is that at Florida, Fowler played all these different positions. Like you said, they had him in the interior. They had him at linebacker. They moved him around.
He's a football player, JP.
But here they can focus him to one.
And that's
one
what they
role.
Should do right out of the gate because, you know, we've seen it. You remember when Denard Robinson came here and they said, okay, he's going to be an offensive weapon. He did running back. He did wide receiver. He was doing return stuff.
He ended up doing nothing.
And he ended up doing nothing because he couldn't concentrate on one thing. And I think that, you know, they've learned a little bit from that. And the best thing to do for young players is let them grow into being a versatile player. First and foremost, let them hone in on one craft and let them get better at that. So I know talking to Todd Walsh today, he's excited about working with them. You know, he said that kind of the same things that we talk about, you know, some of the abilities that he has. And you know, and I think he's going to have a great coach. Todd Walsh is a good football coach. So looking forward to seeing what he can turn out to be as a pass rusher.
I'll say this, though. It does get exciting as you think about down the road. Maybe not even this year. Is in the sub package, if you want to go to a three down front and make him kind of the rover, we used to call it the bat.
Spinner.
You can call it whatever you want. He's basically the walk-around guy. He can line up on the line of scrimmage from linebacker.
Let me explain that.
He'd be the perfect.
To people, you know, it was probably made famous going all the way back to Lawrence Taylor when they had three down guys, mm-hmm. and then they just let Lawrence Taylor roam. So you had
pick
three
a spot.
Guys. And Lawrence Taylor, sometimes it was designed where he was going to go, and other times it was just Lawrence went wherever he wanted to go. He was that good of a player. And that was really the first team that used a lot of that package, and it came to notoriety because Lawrence Taylor was just such a dominant player. And everybody calls it, you know, different things. It could be a spinner, it can be a rover, it can be, you know, free rusher, whatever you want to call it. But he has done a lot of that already at Florida, and I expect him to do some of that here.
I was impressed with him on, what was that, Saturday he spoke to the media. It's usually on Friday, but there was some travel issues, so
no gold
Saturday
shoes.
Saturday morning, no gold shoes, no white suit, down to business.
JP, would you wear them shoes?
No.
Tony, would you wear them?
Only if I could rock the white suit with him.
It's unbelievable, man.
I'll rock the white suit with the gold shoes if he lets me borrow them.
But that's the time to rock it. You're on the gold carpet. That's your night. Okay, that's
cool. You mean
cool.
The red carpet?
No, it was gold that night.
No wonder he had gold shoes.
And the first player up on that carpet.
The first player on, you know, taken that night that was in person. But then he knew when to tone it down. It's time to come to work.
Well, he's going
to
hear about the white suit, though, in the locker room.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, he will.
I guarantee you that at some point, those gold shoes will resurface with some kind of rookie veteran skit. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah. I bet they're on one of the boards in there right now, actually, come to think of it.
They might be.
You know,
or one of the coaches might end up going to meetings wearing them.
It's true. Wonder what size they are.
I don't know. But
whatever size he wears.
They're not 12 and a half.
I wonder if they're 14s. I might have to style them one day.
You'd look good.
I would look good, wouldn't I?
You'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Let's move on down the list. T.J. Yeldon, running back, Alabama. You know, he's going to start. You have to start if you're that high of a pick at running back, right?
No.
No?
No, I mean, not necessarily.
I think he will, though.
But, I mean, I think there's a good chance of it. You know, and I liked it. At that point in the draft, I liked the Coleman guy from Indiana a little bit better. Yeah. I thought he was a little bit more of a decisive runner. He's got home run speed. T.J. Yeldon, one
not
thing
not as
that,
big, though.
Not as big. No, I think he's like 205, somewhere in that range, and TJ's in the 220s range.
6'1".
You know, got some more size to him. But Yeldon doesn't lack that home run speed like Maurice Jones-Drew or Fred Taylor. And that's one of the things that I thought was kind of a drawback from watching him. You saw him get caught.
But what did he run?
4.5. Yeah. 4.52, 4.55. Combine was like 4.6.
I watched a lot of Alabama football, and – a bunch, I remember T.J. Yeldon running that little bounce play and bouncing outside and picking up 15, 20, 25. I mean,
which is what you want, right?
He is a smooth runner.
He's got great hips.
I mean, he is so smooth. And I think he can run downhill when he has to. He was a little beat up this year, I think. Watch it. I don't think he – because his first 2 years were better.
He got banged up towards the end. He had a hamstring injury towards the very end, and then a foot. There were a couple of ankle injuries.
Just minor things, nothing major. You could just tell, and that with the fact that Derrick Henry's, you know, was running like a man possessed. He took away some of his carries.
Sure,
but you watch him the first 2 years at Alabama, and he was dominant. I mean, he was absolutely dominant. And the great thing about T.J. Yeldon, he doesn't have a lot of wear on the tread because he's always shared time. He shared time since he's been at Alabama.
Pretty big stable at Alabama.
A big stable. So I love that in the back, Jeff, because so often, mm-hmm. you know, how many carries is that the kid that you like, the
Coleman
have?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the bell cow. He's running the rock every day. I mean, that, and you and I both know that adds up. Here's T.J. Yeldon, who's a physical specimen, big back, power back, has enough speed to take it to the next level. Now, he might not run around away from DBs.
No.
But they're, first of all, there's not many backs running away from DBs anymore in the league.
Yeah, how many can hit a home run these days? AP?
Yeah.
There's not many.
There's a handful. That's it.
There's a couple. Right? Yeah, there's a couple. But, so I mean, you know.
Rare to find anyway.
You know, in fact, I had a discussion with Dave Caldwell about T.J. Yeldon, you know, I don't know, weeks before the draft, and shows you how much that he, you know, values my opinion because he took him in the second round, and I was like, I'm not a huge fan of him. But you know, today what I did is I went back and I watched some film of him, and I think there are some limitations on the speed part. But when you watch him on film, he's got great anticipation of where the defenders are, and whether you want to call that vision or whatever else, he's got great lateral movement. He can create a lot of things out of nothing.
Catches the ball very well.
Yeah, he's got catch the ball. His pass protection is not great. You know, that's something I think every rookie running back that comes in has to learn and get better at and understand because it's a different requirement at the pro game.
But he's still a big enough guy, though, that he can
– if he's 220, 225, right. He better learn how to block.
That's
I mean, there's no reason why he can't block. You just have to be willing to improve at it. And, you know, got an excellent running back coach that values protection, as the Oakland Raiders last year were very low in sacks allowed with a rookie quarterback, so you expect him to get up to speed with it.
Yeah, I actually like the pick. That's who I would have taken. If you're taking it back, I take him. I just think you look what he did at Alabama, and I already said it, not a lot of wear and tear on him. Explosive guy, maybe not top-end speed, but great cuts, catches the ball. I love the pick.
Well, you know one of the reasons why I do like it? He comes from a winning program. And I think a lot of times that's important when you're building a program like the Jaguars are trying to do. You know, much like the six-round pick defensive tackle from Ohio State.
Michael Bennett.
You know, national champion. You know, I mean, when you bring in some of those guys, sometimes that helps. They got to be good football players now. I mean, they can't come in and be slaps. I mean, they got to be good players. Mm-hmm. But having good players that come from
can't
winning programs.
Can't come in and be slaps.
No.
That's the tech.
So I like
that's,
that.
That's insight you get here on Thursday Night Radio.
Only here, or. Thursday night.
Digging deep.
Yeah.
Can't be a slap, Joe.
It's just funny talking to the folks in Alabama. They're worried about his fumbling. He had, you know, a bunch of, I think, some fumbles late. In some big games, he had some key fumbles, and that scares a lot of people. But I think he only had like 10 fumbles in 3 years or something.
Well, so, 10 fumbles in 3 years.
That's a lot of fumbles.
You know, that's a lot of fumbles
three
in a college
year.
Game, right. You know. And but I think more of those, or most of those 10 were early on.
Yeah.
You know, supposedly he's improved on it. They've got a great philosophy at carrying the running back. Gus Bradley teaches it. And I'm sure that even though you've changed some of the offensive staff, you're still going to be teaching that philosophy on carrying the football.
A.J. Cann, guard, South Carolina. This will be quite a battle in the interior this year.
You know, I watched him
statement
today.
Pick.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, I watched him today, and we've been saying this that last year that Zane Beatles did not have a good year. I mean, when you're a free agent guy and you come in the door, you're expected to solidify that part of the offensive line, and he didn't do that. And A.J. Cann, from watching today, was the first time that I watched film on him. I don't know how many games that I watched. I watched probably, you know, most of four games on A.J. Cann. Big body, very strong, got an incredible strong inside arm, excellent anchor with power, got some nice power, a little chippy in pass protection, loves to have those, you know, to be uncovered and not have a guy to block and head on a swivel and just can't wait to pick somebody off on either side of him. But, you know, the nice thing about him is that he works well with the guys next to him. And he had a guy next to him at South Carolina at left tackle that was terrible. I mean, terrible. That I was very surprised that South Carolina was start. Tony, wait, when you get a chance, watch the film.
I saw a little
of AJ.
I saw
poor kid's mother might be listening.
But watch the left tackle next to him.
Try not to watch bad offensive line.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But, I mean, he's good. That position right now, up for grabs.
It says he's 6'3". I actually saw a report when he got drafted. He's 6'2". He's not a very tall human being.
We saw him in the hall today, and it
he's
was
a big
about
man.
Eyeball to me.
Yeah, he's about 6'2". Yeah. He is a road grader, though. He's a powerful – I mean, he is a single-position guy. He's a guard.
Played center in the past, but he's going
to
be a guard.
He's a guard. And he's there to firm the pocket up and move people off the ball. And he did a good job of that at South Carolina.
Yeah, he's a good football player.
Is Linder better in terms of just guard, straight-up guard play?
We'll find out. I mean, Linder's bigger. Linder can play tackle, in my opinion, if he had to.
Let me tell you this. I've never seen a rookie come in guard and have as good of a season as Brandon Linder.
Well, now, listen. You didn't watch the Cowboys this year, and they're right guard who made almost second-team All-Pro and was Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but if you take Brandon Linder and put him in there,
But you just got to watch the tape. I mean, just judge.
You think he was better?
Yeah, just watching the tape. Zach Martin. That guy was. I mean, now listen. Does it when you're winning? Does that help you play better? And when you have Marco Murray,
and you got good players around you.
Sure, it does. I'm not saying that. And so I'm not. But I'm just saying, if you just watch the tape, Zach Martin was unreal this year. I mean, he was really good. I thought. I said this year, Jeff and I agreed on this. Brandon Linder, in my opinion, will be a Pro Bowl football player in his future. I mean, he's that good a guard. Larry Allen, rookie year, pretty dang good too.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't want to say.
But I'm talking.
I'm not saying the greatest
I'm
ever.
I'm talking about my eyes, you know, and from my time as a player, and then also here. I'm talking firsthand watching guys week
in,
week out.
Now I'll give you that. Maybe the best
I've never
rookie
seen.
Guard in the history of the Jaguars. I'll give him that.
Probably. And in my time, you know, playing, watching the Jaguars, my time in New York.
We're quibbling
excellent
about
year.
Like nothing.
We're arguing about the same thing we agree on.
Yeah, we agree. He's a really good player.
But your question was, can he be better than Brandon Linder? That's a tall task. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
You know, you hope that he can produce that type of year, but you got to get on the field first. You know, Zane Beatles is not going to just roll over and play dead.
They got crowded. You got Buenco, Wisniewski, Beatles, Kane fighting for two positions.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's been a good camp. I can't wait.
I'll be spending
a lot of time with Doug Marrone during camp.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is it's so far away still.
Don't forget Pastor, by the way, too.
No, Pastor. That's five. That's right. Listen, he has something to say about it. It's just so far away because you can't tell anything in these OTAs for the interior offensive line, in my opinion.
Got to get the pads on.
We'll get to the rest of the draft class coming up. Of course, come see the Jaguars rookie class this weekend at Rookie Minicamp tomorrow and Saturday. It starts at 1:10 p.m. each day. You must register for a free ticket online at jaguars.com/rookieminicamp. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and best locations at EverBank Field this season. Pick any 3 home games and choose from 5 different locations. Prices start at $99. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. We're reviewing draft picks. First chance we've had to go down the list of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to day 3 of the draft now. The Jaguars started the day with 4 picks, traded back in that 4th round, 1 spot back to the Jets, and added a 7th round pick. And with that pick in the 4th round, James Sample, who played strong safety at Louisville his last year of college. He started at Washington, went to a junior college, finished at Louisville.
Yeah, he had a surgery.
Yep.
At Washington, and then transferred to the junior college, and then from reading the bio and the information about him, you know, he got there a couple days before camp at Louisville and became a starter immediately. You know, he's got good size. He's an absolute tackling machine. Very good tackler. Very good in space, which I think will be an improvement from what they've had in the past. They're going to play him at free. Does he have great range? Probably not great range, but he's got good range. He's got excellent ball skills, and he seems to have a nice level of awareness. But, hey, look, you know, the free safety position at the college level, I mean, they just – it's not like they're just laying all over the place. I mean, that's hard to find. You know, so can he plug in at free safety? I think he can, and I think he's going to be able to compete with Josh Evans, and or if Josh Evans is not going to strong safety to back up Jonathan Cyprian, but he's going to be able to compete for playing time at free. And I think his ability to walk in a couple days before camp at Louisville and to be a starter and to be a very good starter and have good ball skills, I think – makes a pretty good statement. And you know, the analytics guys, you know, supposedly his analytics are off the chart for safety, so we'll see. But you know, when you get into that round, is it a sure thing? No, but the guy was very productive at Louisville, very good player.
That's this a pick, pretty good football team at Louisville too, just yeah. Come in and start on. They had like 10 draft picks this year.
Yeah, good football team.
Good insight.
Thanks, Tony, appreciate that.
With this,
go ahead. No, make your point, please. We're waiting on you.
What this pick says more than anything, Jeff and JP, is that there are no college football free safeties because this team did not need another strong safety. That's all they have is box safeties. Or I mean, they would like to think that Sergio Brown can be a free safety, but what they had last year were box safeties. You know, Sip. He is great down on the tight end, great in run, but I don't think he's a center fielder running around ball hawking, finding the ball.
James Sample has more coverage ability than Cyprian.
Right, and neither is Josh Evans, just I think maybe because of the speed. So if James Sample has ball skills in any sort of range at all, he has a great chance to win that job. But what says more than anything, for this team to pick a guy who played – box safety, strong safety in the fourth round tells me there are no free safeties in college football because they don't need another strong safety. They got plenty of strong safeties. They need a free safety.
That'll be interesting to watch.
And he might have been, I mean, you know, if he had had more than just 1 year at Louisville, he might have been drafted higher.
What was he at Washington? Was he a free at Washington? Do we have any idea?
Didn't play very much.
Yeah. So young. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't play very much and then had the injury, so he didn't play much.
Yeah.
So I'm
it'd be interesting to ask the scouts that. What they,
you know, but this,
I'd love to pick Dave's brain and say, why? What did James Sample show you from the strong safety position that he has range and ball skills to play free in the NFL?
Well, I mean, that. I mean, you know, he had four picks, and he, from watching the film, he could have had three more. I mean, he could have had a seven-pick season at Louisville. And for the most part, he was a box guy. But, I mean, in the Jaguars' defense, the safeties are – I don't want to say they're interchangeable, you know, because you'd like to have one guy that has the range to play free and one guy to beat box, you know. But, I mean, if you've got a guy that has some box ability, then you have to play him as interchangeable.
I will say this. That pick surprised me a little bit. Not that I knew any other – who they were going to pick. And just from the fact that he, when I first heard it, they played strong safety. I was like, I hope he can play free too, because it's crowded at strong.
Well, he's aware. He's good in the open field tackling wise. And as much as they leave the corners out on the island, I think he's an upgrade. So it's going to be, you know, we'll find out, you know. But I think he's an upgrade by far.
By far.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a strong statement.
Watch him.
Are you recording this?
I mean, we have strong statements from Jeff Logman today. He's a slappy.
He's throwing it out there.
And by far, he's better than any safety.
I think he's an upgrade. I'm not saying any safety.
His ball skills.
I'm saying his ball skills are better than any safety that the Jaguars have right now. By far.
By far.
By far, JP.
And he is definitely going to be an upgrade at that other safety spot.
Strong for a fourth-round draft pick.
Wow.
I would be surprised.
I hope you're right.
I would be surprised if he's not starting day one.
Really?
Yep.
Calling it right here.
Mark it down, Joe. Put it on the board.
We got it. May, what is it, 7th?
It is May 7th. Jeff Logman announces James Sample will be the starting free safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
Opening day.
You heard it here first.
Why not?
Because if we're wrong, no one will remember. And if we're right, we'll tell you.
That's right. We'll be sure to remind you. Of course, the Jag. This was that fourth round pick. We're thinking in the hallway. We're live on Jaguars.com. It's got to get wide receiver at some point, right? And Green was still available. Got to be Green. No, it was Sample. But Green was still available in the fifth round. The Jaguars went Rashad Green from Florida State, the all-time Seminole receiver. And
that's
a guy that
big
has
now.
Yeah.
I mean, to accomplish that at Florida State, that's a big deal.
And a great teammate throughout his years there, just reading the stories about him. The team just kind of gravitated to him. It wasn't Winston. It was to Rashad Green, of all people, which is a good sign.
I talked to a Florida State coach a few days ago and was asking about Rashad Green. And he said if he can be as a complimentary type of receiver, and he wasn't saying this negative, like that he couldn't be a number one or anything like that, but he's saying he is the type of guy that will be in the right place every time, run great routes.
Yeah, he does run good routes.
And will catch the ball so that a quarterback knows that if the big-time guy's not, you know, they're rolling coverage or something, that Rashad Green's going to run the right route and he can get the ball to him. He was very confident and said he's a great, great young man.
He's very fluid. But the thing that probably impresses me the most is that when you watch Jameis Winston, when he got into trouble, he looked for Green and would just throw it, you know, even if the coverage was tight. And Green really was really good at catching in traffic.
Well, one of the things a lot of people said inside of Florida State and analysts, one of the reasons Jameis had so many picks this year is they lost Benjamin, who went to the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. And all they had is Rashad Green and a bunch of young guys. And early in the year, the young guys were running the wrong routes. And Rashad would obviously run the right routes. And so Jameis basically, at the end of the day, said, you know, screw it. I'm throwing to Rashad, and I'm going to stuff it in there because I can't trust these young guys. And that was the one thing that stood out. Listen, this is a guy the quarterback can trust to be where he needs to be and run the route with precision. And he's a very good runner. He's not going to blow you away with size or speed.
Or after the catch. But he's got some ability after the catch
wiggle,
now. He's got a little bit.
But he's going to catch the ball. He's going to be where you need him to be. And he's going to get it done.
I
think it's a great fifth-round pick.
And here's probably the best thing about him. One, he looks like he's got some idea of what routes are supposed to be like. So I don't think it's going to be a huge learning curve as far as running good routes. Comes from a pro-style system.
Yeah.
And he played the slot, which is what they were looking for in the draft to go along with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. So I think it's a good fit.
You know, it's shocking, and it came to me when you said it. He played in a pro-style system. How many colleges can we say that about today?
Not many. Not many at all.
I mean, and I think it from an offensive line standpoint. You know, I think Florida State had three offensive linemen drafted as well. And the one thing is you watch them. They were in a pro style, and their guys block pro style schemes and are asked to do pro style stuff. Where a lot of linemen in the spread, it's a completely different technique, and you're not asked to do a lot of things, and it's very simplified. And Florida State, 29 guys drafted in the last 3 years, more than any other college, and I think it's the most
ever
in history in a three-year period.
Yeah.
Maybe running the pro style might – help you out a little bit if
and national champions.
Yeah.
Participated in the national championship this past year.
No, they got runner up this year.
They're
semifinal. They lost the semis.
That's right.
Them in Alabama.
Yeah.
Sorry,
right.
JP, I was there for that. That was ugly.
Okay, it was, yes.
But very few teams. And I think it'll help TJ Yeldon, pro style offense, asked to pick up blitzes. I mean, obviously he's got to get better at it, Jeff, but at least there'll be some recognition.
Yeah.
Of what it means, you know, when they say four down plus Mike and you got, you know, Will, or, you know, we're sliding to Will and you got Mike to Sam, or, you know, whatever at least there's going to be some conceptual understanding. We're so different in the spread.
Yeah.
We'll come back in a moment and visit with Marcus Stroud. He represented the Jaguars over in London during the draft. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Marcus Stroud after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. You'll receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. Got to mention, too, guys, the Zane Beatles Parade Foundation is having a Mother's Day pancake breakfast for the kids.
Yeah, I love pancakes.
For the kids from the UF. From the UF.
Where is that, JP?
It is at the Publix Aprons Cooking School down in San Jose.
You think there'll be warm syrup there? I like warm syrup on
my pancakes. Most likely. The UF Proton Therapy Institute kids will be making a special breakfast for their mothers, which will be fantastic. It's coming up on Saturday.
Can we make it for mothers and ex-Jaguars?
I'm sure you won't get turned away. Let's put it that way.
I am big on pancakes.
You're big on a lot of things.
Hey, before we go to, I know we're getting ready to go to Stroud real quick.
Yes.
I was up at the pool. Have you ever been up at the pool at the Cleveland Deck?
I have not.
What a place to watch a football game.
Is it good?
I mean, if you wanted to hang out with some buddies and friends and sit on the deck and hop in the pool on those early September games, pretty good. Cool.
It's a place to be.
Huh? A pretty fun place.
Let's go to the phone lines now and welcome in former Jaguars defensive tackle Marcus Stroud. Let's start with this. How's your British accent, Marcus?
It didn't go too well. You know, the South Georgia still took over.
I can imagine that Mike Perkins might have a good impression of Marcus Stroud with a British accent.
Perkins will probably have a good impression of anybody.
Well, tell us about the week, Marcus. I mean, was that your first trip there, and what was involved leading up to the draft in London?
It was actually my second trip to London, but it was a great time. I had a good time. As soon as I got off the plane, I went right to Oakington Manor and did a great NFL Play 60 program with the kids over there at Oakington Manor. Man, they're so excited about American football, and it was just a great experience.
How about that? Barney, Georgia goes to London.
Hey, man, you know, you have to have some growth. And if a country boy like me can make it, hopefully I can inspire anybody to do something.
That's a beautiful thing.
Marcus, I've been over there a couple times. And just talk about, because I think I experienced the same thing you did, of how excited the young people are about American football. They don't know a lot, but boy, they're excited, aren't they?
Yeah, man, they don't know much about football, but they are so willing to learn. They're opening up with open arms. And then the thing I was most surprised about is I was thinking everybody, you know, didn't have really a knowledge of American football. Everybody knew about the soccer. But it was a lot of people that was much more informed than I would have thought. And those Jaguar fan clubs they have over there are absolutely crazy, man. It's like meeting a bunch of people from Duval County.
Are they yelling Duval?
Yes, they were yelling Duval and all that stuff, man. So it was a great experience. The draft day party was very fun, man. About 200 people showed up. And they had a great time.
How much do they actually follow the draft? I mean, because, I mean, for years, I mean, even in the United States, the draft really wasn't anything that was crazy. And, Tony, both you and Marcus have been there before. Is the draft a big event to them for the football fans, of, you know, the fans of American football over there?
Yes, it is. And I think that's just because, you know, it's in the intimacy where – the American football is just not getting over there. It's grabbing their attention, and they're gravitating to anything that has to do with American football, and they're loving it.
And just to add on to that, 2 years ago, I think it was, guys, I was over there and actually worked for Sky Sports doing the draft. So they actually cover the draft live on Sky Sports, and the way they do it over there is so interesting. It obviously starts like at 1 a.m. or whatever time it is, and you go to 6 in the morning, basically. And they carry the live feed of the NFL Network. But when the network goes to commercials, then the panel, which I was one of them, talks about the NFL draft. So there's no commercials. It is one big draft. And the Sky Sports, which is like ESPN over there, shows it live. Now, it's in the middle of the night, so you have to be a diehard. But they definitely spend money and energy trying to cover the draft.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. And I was fortunate enough to do the very same thing So it was a long night. It actually started at 12 for me because they had an hour pregame.
Oh, that's right.
Before the draft even happened.
Did I remember that? It was midnight. Hey, Marcus, yeah, so, did you sleep all day? That's what I did. I tried to sleep all day because I knew I was going to be up all night. That last hour is tough.
Oh, gosh, the last hour was torture. And the thing was, I had to get right off the plane, do the Play 60, went to a sports benefit dinner, and then I had a full day right off the plane and had a full day the very next day. So they worked me pretty hard. They made me earn that trip.
Marcus Stroud is with us on Jaguars Thursday. He represented the team over in London during draft week. So take us through the actual day. It's Saturday of the draft. The club is there. You're at the, I guess, a studio right outside of the Tower Bridge, and you had to lead up to the fan making the pick. Take us through that day there and what the scene was like in the studio.
Oh, man, it was like I said, it was great. The London, UK, Jacksonville team over there, that whole team, they do a very good job of getting the Jacksonville Jaguar brand out over in London. They do a very good job of that. So, you know, up to the time we had to go do the Union Jacks fan club party, and that's what was when they were celebrating the draft picks from the first 2 days and coming up to the last round. So that's how the day started. Then we ended up going over to the Tower Bridge, and I had one of the fan club members, which his name was George Bedford. He had a bunch of his friends with him. They were all decked out in Jaguar gear, man. So it was a great thing. Everybody was working hard, waiting for the right pick to make sure we didn't mispronounce anybody's name or anything like that, because, you know, it was a history-making moment. It was the first time that a pick was made outside of the U.S., and they wanted to put on a good show, and they did a very good job.
Yeah, and just to pick up on what Marcus said,
yes,
the London team is led by Laura Oakes, who does a outstanding job, her and her team, of coordinating everything the Jaguars do. The entire week we're over there when the team plays. This week it'll be shorter, obviously. All the events that guys fly back to, the event that Marcus flew back for, when I've been back, Fred's been back, I believe Mark's been back, a number of guys have been back there. She organizes all that. Works with Union Jacks, so Laura Oakes and her team does an outstanding job of coordinating and really promoting the Jaguars in London.
Marcus, what do you think of the draft picks? Let's start off with Fowler.
Well, I love the draft pick. First off, you know, I'm biased, so anytime we go defense, I love it. And I think Dante Fowler was the first or the second best player defensively in the draft this whole year, so either way they went, I wouldn't have been mad, but I definitely like the versatility that Fowler brings to the line. And then, you know, our first three picks were all SEC guys, so you're never going to hear me complain about that.
You're going to be all right, though, with a Gator being the first-round pick, Marcus?
Well, you know, I'm okay with that. It's an SEC guy. I would have definitely preferred it be a Georgia guy, but, you know, taking Gurley at number three, that would have been a bit of a stretch. If he wouldn't have got hurt, I would have made a strong argument and case for that, but that's another story to tell. But I love Dante Fowler as a pick, and I can put aside those Georgia-Florida differences for a great SEC player. How about that?
There you go. Did Georgia have anybody else drafted, or was Gurley the only one?
No, the wide receiver.
Oh, no, Gurley. We had Chris Connolly went to Kansas City in the third round.
Is that it? That's it?
I think that was all that was drafted.
What's going on at Georgia these days?
Stroud, you might need to get over there and start recruiting some folks.
No, it was, I mean, we had some injuries and it was just a down year. We'll see about next year.
Are you playing?
Hey, listen, we still had a first rounder. So, you know, one of the most dynamic and best players in the draft who right now I would tell you would probably end up being one of the top five pros to come out of this draft, and Mr. Todd Gurley, especially if he doesn't get hurt. He's going to bring prominence back to the running back position. You heard it here first.
That's strong right there.
Mark that down.
Mark that down.
We got May 7th.
Logs is saying that Sample's starting, and Marcus Stroud on May 7th said Todd Gurley will revolutionize the running back position and be a top five player of this draft. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate. And let's revisit this, and I will stand by it.
Okay.
We'll hold you to it. When are you coming back down? And I'm sure you'll be around at some point during the season, Marcus, at least, if not earlier than that, right?
I'm actually planning on trying to come back down in the next couple of weeks to go to Coach Coughlin's J-Fund dinner and golf tournament. So I'm making plans to try to come back down there to do that.
Well, hope you'll come see us at the stadium, and we appreciate your time tonight, Marcus. Good job in London.
Well, no problem. Thanks for having me.
See you, Big Stroud.
Marcus, thank you. Marcus Stroud, former Jaguars defensive tackle, joining us on Jaguars Thursday. We'll come back in a moment, go through the last few Jaguars picks, and look around the National Football League as well. Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, visit primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. We'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jags have developed the first premium business program for local businesses that includes four principles: consulting, business hospitality playbook, events and experiences, and exposure and recognition. Get your business in the black at jaguarsblack.com. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Before we get around the league, let's get through these final three picks. Michael Bennett, a guy that a lot of folks felt was going to go early, second round even. Some analysts had him predicted to go, but the defensive tackle at Ohio State, good player there, three technique here, and a guy that can come in and you know, depending on how Sendarik is, he might get some early time, right?
He might. You know, the reason he fell, or maybe one of the reasons he fell, and I know Dave Caldwell talked about maybe scheme fit, but he had some injuries kind of throughout the evaluation process, his pro day, and then I think combine had some issues. But, I mean, there's no doubt he's a productive player, penetrating three technique type of guy, played a little bit of nose, played left side and right side, good player, strong. The one thing that I think when you watch on film on is that sometimes he kind of runs out of juice a little bit, gets winded. But, I mean, with this defense and with the rotation that's going to be happening, that shouldn't happen. So, I like him.
He's going
like
to play him. Well, though. It's crowded. I mean, it's crowded. I mean, you got a lot of good players. I mean, you start listing them. You got Roy Miller. You got Avery Jones, who can play either the nose or the three. You got
Odrick that can play four or three.
Can play three or four. You got Ziggy Hood. You got Sendarik. I mean, it's crowded. I mean, he's going to have to.
That's a good thing.
No, it's a
That's
great. A it's really a great thing for. Thing. It's a great thing for us as a team. But I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to make the roster. I mean, he's got to come out and have a good camp and compete and play well in the preseason.
Seventh-round picks, Neil Sterling, wide receiver, 6'3", 238 out of Monmouth University. It's in New Jersey.
Yeah, and he's a wide receiver at Monmouth. You know, big guy, big wide receiver. Kind of.
What'd you say?
Monmouth?
Monmouth.
Monmouth, whatever. Monmouth, Monmouth.
We can go with Monmouth.
Monmouth.
Monmouth sounds
cooler. It's M-O-U-T-H, right?
Yeah.
That's Monmouth.
Where you're from, sure.
Yeah, but that's not how they actually call what they call the school. But if you want to say that's where he's from.
Is that not the way to pronounce it, Joe?
Go for it. No, it's
What
not.
Is it, Monmouth?
Monmouth.
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 Monmouth?
It's
you
Monmouth.
Wouldn't be accepted there.
He's a big wide receiver.
Yes, Mr. Lageman.
Where is that at anyway?
Yeah, Lageman.
It's New Jersey, isn't it?
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time my name's been pronounced wrong. Where is that, Jersey?
Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like Central Jersey.
Big guy, doesn't run away from anybody. He's one of those guys that I think is going to get projected to be a move tight end.
Yeah.
You know,
project.
It's kind of, yeah, it's a project, and it's, you know, one of those guys that, you know, you hope, you know, you
hit
develop
a flyer
down the road, you know, you know, in 2-3 years, you all of a sudden you're going, wow, where'd this guy come from? Kind of like picking a basketball player to play tight end.
Same school as Miles Austin, by the way.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of a history.
Yeah.
And watching the film from that school, 4-to-3 aspect ratio, low quality, it's low level because, in fact, at Monmouth, did I say it?
Hey, nice job.
At Monmouth, they don't even have bleachers on one side of the field.
Don't judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying it was interesting watching the film.
You sound very critical.
You're judging.
Project guy, you know. So, and that's what you do in the late round. You know, you try to catch fire.
They have stands on all sides of the stadium at Notre Dame. That's where Ben Koyak is from.
Yeah, but no one really cares because it's Notre Dame.
I agree.
Nobody was more happier than Tim Walsh, the Jaguars cap guru.
The rumor is, what I heard, is that Dave had to go to the bathroom, and the pick came up, and Walsh ran to the phone and said, pick the tight end from Notre Dame. And Dave was not happy by the time he got back.
Walsh did remind me that
– I made that up, by the way. People might believe this. It was Dave's pick.
That he had the game-winning catch against Stanford, which Tim Walsh said that he's watched repeatedly on YouTube.
How hard did Walshy politic for Koyak?
Oh, I'm sure he did. And let me just a couple other interesting facts. They signed some undrafted rookies. One guy, the linebacker from Pittsburgh, Todd Thomas, is from Joe Namath's hometown, Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Beaver Falls, nice.
And then they have some tryout guys, and two of them, Desmond Cooper, who played at UNC Charlotte, and then also Jake Stenson, a running back from the Citadel, both of them Bowles graduates.
That's right. That's great.
So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And don't forget the two Auburn signees as rookie free agents. Nick Marshall, who was the quarterback, changed to corner at the Senior Bowl.
We had him at the Senior Bowl. He played corner at the Senior Bowl for us. And he's athletic now, and he's long. And I mean, he's a complete project. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you probably, if he can progress during camp, you put him in on the practice squad. Because he's a natural athlete. He started as a corner at Georgia. The reason he transferred to Auburn because he wanted to play quarterback. But he has some ability.
And Auburn running back Corey Grant, 5'11", 205, ran a reported 4.24 40 at the pro day.
If you can run
he has a great nickname, Taillights, because he blows by everybody.
So if you run 4.2, how do you not get drafted?
I think he had like a little over 1,000 yards rushing in his entire college career.
Yeah, he just didn't use him a lot in the running back role. He's a kick returner, that type. So
4.2.
There you go. Speed.
If he can catch the ball and go north and south, find a place.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. The Wells report released. It was, quote, more probable than not that the Patriots tampered with the balls. What is the punishment now for Tom Brady? It seems like Belichick is kind of out of it, in the clear on this.
It's very apparent that, you know, Brady supposedly interviewed with the with Mr. Wells, who did the investigation, but did not turn over some of the electronic stuff.
None of it.
Phone,
no, he said no phone, no email, nothing.
Nothing.
Wouldn't cooperate.
You know, and
it's a penalty on itself, right? That's in the rule.
Look, it should be a minimum 4-game suspension because, I mean, it's very apparent that he knew what was going on. And in my opinion, the team should be punished because that team has had a little bit of a culture of that in the past.
Repeat offenders.
Yeah. The only way I'll say the team doesn't get punished is because if a player was doing it on his own without any knowledge
Tony, do you really believe that the quarterback is doing something without – and Bill Belichick, the man who knows all aspects of the program, do you think he didn't know? Your opinion. Do you think he didn't know?
No, my opinion, I believe he did. But you have to, if you're the commissioner of the NFL, you have to go by the Wells report. The Wells report said Bill Belichick had – there was no proof he had any idea at all. And so you have to go by that. Basically, the Wells report said it's more probable than not. And the only reason they say he did it for sure is because of the lack of cooperation. They don't have, you know, the smoking gun of seeing him do it. And the other thing is Brady said he didn't know the one guy, McNally.
McNally. He did.
And then all of a sudden they find text messages and everything else. It's like, come on, I'm with Jeff. And everyone says, well, it didn't matter. They blew out the Colts. Let me ask you this question. What if that game came down to a field goal where the Patriots have to kick a last-second field goal to win that game? What would be the outcry if that was the case?
Different.
I mean, it could be – would 4 games be enough? You're talking about the integrity of the NFL in the second biggest game of the season, the right to go to the Super Bowl, and you find out a player is cheating, breaking the rules purposely.
I'll tell you what, I'd take a 3-game suspension. As long as it's 3 or longer.
Why three?
So he doesn't play the Jaguars week 3. Well, how about that?
To me, I mean, it's not a blame. To me, it's a bigger picture than that.
Right.
I mean, you have.
I'm just saying, personally,
very self-serving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You got. To me, it's 4-game minimum. You know, and I'm not worried about when they play the Jaguars or anything like that. I mean, to me, you have to, as a commissioner and at the league level, you have to let people know that breaking the rules is not okay.
And here's the thing that's going to be so unfair to the commissioner. If he gives, some people have said 8 games. So let's say he gives 4 or 8. The first comments are going to be, oh, you're going to punish him more than you did Ray Rice, who committed domestic violence. I mean, he can't win in this situation. So he's just got to sit there, look at the evidence, and make the best decision and turn off his, you know, phone for a week and go about his business.
Yeah, and Tom Brady's dad just needs to keep quiet.
I mean, what his dad say?
He said, oh, it's frame gate, you know, it's a total setup. I mean, come on.
Read the text messages.
Just keep your mouth closed.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going down week 3, by the way. LSU tackle Lyle Collins signed with the Cowboys. 3 years, guaranteed $1.7 million. That's the maximum for an undrafted free agent. And Ian Rappaport had the original report today. So they keep stockpiling offensive linemen in Dallas.
Well, and he said that the difference was is that he had a connection with Jerry Jones. And I get it. I mean, I'd connect with an owner that's going to guarantee my 3-year contract too.
Here's the deal: you're going to a system where you're not playing left tackle if you're Lyle Collins.
No, but you know he's going to play somewhere on that offensive line. I mean, right tackle. I mean, is Doug Free that good?
Is he going to be out Doug Free his rookie year?
Maybe not, but he might. He might win a left guard spot.
It's a shame though because the guy he was basically cleared of any wrongdoing, and the fact that it went down like that, I feel bad for the young man.
You'll be at rookie camp tomorrow?
I will be.
Tony, you around this weekend?
I'm going to be here Saturday for sure. I'm trying to make it out tomorrow. I got a big event tomorrow night. So,
110 Friday and Saturday. Rookie mini camp here at Everbank Field. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.